You have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. You can look on your phone, your tablet. I don't know if you even still have Bibles anymore. We'll have it up here on the screen. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And so all this authority has been given to Jesus as the head of the church. But then at this moment, he says, "Go." And at that moment, there was a transfer of authority from Jesus to the church. "Go, therefore, and make disciples." Everybody say, "Make disciples." "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Now, many people here today know that I was a former accountant, ex-accountant, in my former life. And one of the areas of accounting that I was in was in cost accounting. And I worked at the big paper mill, International Paper. It was Federal Paper Board when I started working there. And what a cost accountant does is you figure up the cost of the product that you're making. It's very important to know that so that you can make money. And we had, 50, 60, maybe 100 different products. And so it was part of my job to find out the cost of all those different products. And so in order to do my job better, I needed to have an understanding of the paper making process. Now, I grew up with my dad working in manufacturing. He worked for the 3M Corporation. And he took me to several different plants, and they'd make computer chips and transistors and things like that. And one of his last jobs was to oversee 6 manufacturing plants all over the nation. And so I kind of have manufacturing in my blood, so to speak. And so I love that, to go out into the mill, get out from my desk, and go out into the mill. And it's a massive place, and learn about the process. And I learned a lot. I really did. From the wood coming in to, the hardwoods and the pines, and chipping that wood and putting into these big roll cookers. They would cook the chips down to a pulp, and then you take the pulp, and then you run it at high speed through these machines, and miraculously, paper comes out at the other end. And it was quite fascinating, and there was an art to do it. I mean, a lot of different paper companies around. I went to other paper companies, and each of them did it a little differently. And, the better you were at it, the better quality that you were, the better the product that you had, the more money you were going to make, the more profitable you'd be. And so I understand about making a product. And so, it'd be foolish to, when they started building that hundreds of millions of dollars to build this paper mill, it'd be foolish if they didn't know the end product before they started, right? They knew what they wanted to accomplish, and built this massive plant to accomplish the image that they already had in their minds of the product they wanted to make. Does that make sense? Well, we just talked about the Great Commission. And we read in there that it said to make disciples. And so for the church, our product is disciples. That's what we're making. And the problem that we have is if you were to go around and get a group of pastors together from this city, I've heard we've had 1,000 different churches here in this area. We're in the Bible Belt in the South, and that's maybe almost on every corner. And then, that's amazing. But if you were to get these pastors together and we started to go around the room asking him, "Well, what do you think a disciple is? And what do you think a disciple is? And what do you think a disciple is?" Now, most of them wouldn't even know that's what they're making. They really haven't thought it through. that far necessarily. They're just kind of trying to make it. You know, they're trying to do something great for God. They never necessarily sat down on the paper and said, this is what I think a disciple is, and this needs to be our process to make that. Not a lot of pastors have done that. But even the ones that have done that, we start talking about things, you know, we're going to have a lot of differences on what we think we're making. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. So what a disciple defined, going back to the Bible and in the Greek, the simple definition of what a disciple is, it's basically a learner who follows the teaching and the teacher. So if we're going to make disciples of Jesus, we're going to have to learn his teachings and then be like him. Does that make sense? And so that's that we so but it's a little more to it than just that, but it's his teachings and then being connected with him and being like him. Okay, you got that? So if we say we're to get these pastors together and we're going to talk about, you know, what a disciple is, and all right, so we'll just say maybe the first one, be a good person. A disciple should be a good person. I think we all could check that box. Have good character. I mean, I think, you know, the teachings of Jesus, we would probably, I think we may agree, we may not live it, but we would probably all agree, all the different pastors, to have good character, to worship God in some form. Some may not have instruments, some may do it in different ways, but I think most of us would be agreement on worshiping God. Reading your Bible. I think that's a lot of pastors would think a disciple needs to read their Bible. How about to pray? Even if it's a memorized prayer, we could probably make a good case for, you know, a disciple should be a person who prays. Attend church. Well, I mean, we really can't have a ministry without people, so that's pretty important for disciples to come to church, because if you don't come to church, then we can't have church. So I think we'd all check off that one. Serve in church. Well, all the pastors absolutely are going to be in agreement about that. You're going to serve and you're going to like it. Be loving. Now, we may all give lip service to this, but I think, you know, we would say that Jesus, God, is love, and hopefully we'd all check off that box. Know who you are in Christ. Pastor's going, yeah, I'm going to check. What? What are you talking about? Well, the scriptures talk, you know, in Paul's writings, over 130, 140 different scriptures that Paul has that tells us who we are in Christ. Now we're getting into some little disagreement. Either many pastors in this area don't know this. They don't even really know what that means to who we are in Christ. Okay, live by faith. Live by faith. What? What are you talking about? What's that? All right, how about this one? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Absolutely not. That passed away with the apostles. And if you're one of those tongue talkers, you're of the devil. They wouldn't be laughing somewhere else. How about the authority of the believer? That we've been given authority. And again, and I'm for anybody trying to do anything for God. But there's just a lot of pastors in this city, in this area. They don't know what I'm talking about. They don't even know they have authority. They're looking to God They think God's in control, so they're looking to Him to do stuff when God's waiting on us to find out what we have and do it. And so they're waiting on Him, and He's waiting on us. You can say amen or oh me or oh something. I don't know what. So here at Good News Church, we have definite beliefs about what it means to make a disciple. And I want to run through these, and I got a bunch of scriptures. And so I may just let the scriptures do the talking and just expound just a little bit. But let me just go through this. And I want you, those that are members, you've heard this. But I want you to know what we're doing here so you can hook up with us. Those that are kind of been coming to the church, you know, maybe you've heard some of this. I want you to hear clearly what Good News Church is about. Those that you are new, I just pray that you'll come back next Sunday. And if you want to tune me out right now and start thinking about fried chicken for lunch, go ahead. First point, we believe that every disciple has a great inheritance. That's Ephesians 1. I mean, there are so many scriptures here, but I'm just going to read one. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." So we believe that we've been given eternal life here on the earth. We believe we can know that we're going to heaven when we die. We believe that we are sons and daughters of God. We believe that we've been given an inheritance. We believe that the abundant life is for right now and not just when you get to heaven. We do believe you've been given authority. We do believe that God still heals today. We still believe that God provides for you financially. We believe that God wants for you to have peace here on this earth. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking with tongues. And that it's for today. We believe in private, you know, the praying in the Spirit and that gift, but also in the gifts of the Spirit. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. We okay there? Yeah. All right, I'm going on. That could be a 52-week series. Next one. We believe that every disciple has been given the ministry of reconciliation. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. This is one of our core verses here at Good News Church. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And look, here's that phrase again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. See that? Are you in Christ? Who's in Christ today? Raise your hand. Talking to you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Just go ahead, just start preaching among yourselves. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, who? The new creations. The word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, and we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So we believe that every believer has been given the ministry of reconciliation. Every believer is an ambassador for Christ. And it's not just while we're here in this church building, that when we leave here, when we are on the job, at school, at the grocery store, at home, in our neighborhood, we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Him. We are the light of the world. We bring light in dark places. And it's our job to reconcile people to God. Every one of us. And you can learn these skills. And I know for some it's like, well, I mean, that's the evangelist's job. That's the pastor's job. No, that's not what my Bible says. I'm not going by my opinions today. I'm going by what the Word says. I'm going by what Jesus said, what Paul said, what Peter said, what John said. By the Holy Spirit. And so, thank God for experiences. But we've got a crisis in the church today when only 2% of evangelicals have led someone to Christ. And we're not getting the job done in the world. And so we have to have, it's time for the disciples, the followers of Christ, the learners, to walk in this. We believe, next point, we believe that every believer can do the works of Christ. Not only can, but should. John 14, verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, it doesn't say the who's ever going to be a minister, full-time minister. It says here, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Mark 16, the other part of the Great Commission. Mark 16, verse 15. If that's not clear enough, look at these verses. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who are in full-time ministry, those who are pastors, those who are evangelists. That's what it says in my special anointing preacher's Bible. What does it say in yours? What? Oh, come on now. I know it says that, but it doesn't really mean that. I grew up in that church where the minister did everything. And I wondered why we had a new priest every couple years. Because they were having nervous breakdowns. They were freaking out because all the responsibility of ministry was on their shoulders. And that wasn't God's intention. Man, the traditions of man had made the Word of God of no effect. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now I don't have time to go into all the works of Christ. But we believe here at Good News Church that the disciples, we're making disciples here, the disciples we're making should be doing the works of Christ. We believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for empowering believers to do the works of Christ. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Turn to your neighbor and point at him and say power.
Power.
That's right. Now to your other neighbor, do it just like that. Say power. Power. Not power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the other end of the earth. And all the end of the earth. And so that's what the primary. And there's so many other things about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that could be a 4-8 week series on that. But the primary purpose is to be a witness. And if we'll allow Him, the Holy Spirit, to come upon us, He's in us, to come up on us and allow Him to do things, He will do great exploits through us. And you can just shout anytime you want. And if you can feel compelled, I'm not making this happen. If you compel, I'm giving you permission, even during my message, to stand on your feet and yell. And if you feel it, you do it. And now the guests today are totally, I'm not coming back next Sunday. Well, maybe you need to go to the church where they stand up and shout during the preaching. They do it at the football games. You're okay with that? Ushers, remove these people. I was just waiting to find out who they were. We're okay. See, is anybody hurt by that? Okay. We believe in the sixfold ministry. What? Say what? That's not how I've been taught. We've been taught about the fivefold. See, it's all in a hand. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Why is the pastor number 4? Let's come up with a new acronym where the pastor is first. Work on that, Nate. But anyway. Let me read the scripture first, okay? Ephesians 4, verse 11. And He Himself, who's Himself? Jesus. He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, so that they can travel around the world and preach the gospel and teach people and get people saved. It's in the special anointing Bible. What Bible do you have? New King James? Oh, come on. That's so old school. That translation's passed away. You need to get mine, the Pastor Matt Judd hoop-de-doo Bible. I got them for sale out in the lobby. $9.95. And if you buy today, I'll throw in. I'll throw in a set of my special knives. Okay. It's a mad dash. No, it says for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's why we're here. Yes. And that's why it's the sixfold, because you got to add the believers. The believers need to be first. Yeah. The believers are what it's all about. Yes. And I got touch. There it is. It's a touch. For those that understand football, it's a touchdown. Thank you. Revelation is just flowing here today. And if you have your revelation, and you, if you have your revelation, you want to share it now, go ahead and just shout it out. Jesus, help me. No, it's for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what we're supposed to be doing. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. But we've made it all about them. Now, I probably shouldn't say it, but I'm going to say it anyways because I don't really care. I've lost this service already, so. Anybody hear about Creflo Dollar? And a $64 million plane? Now, I will just say this. I love Creflo Dollar.
Amen.
I listen to him. I love his ministry. But he just kind of got off there a little bit because a $64 million plane for him just to go different places, to me, doesn't seem like a good use of resources.
Amen.
Now, if he would have said, I want $64 million to help raise up believers all throughout the world, $64 million, I mean, I would have jumped on that. I would have been one of the 200,000. Or if he would have said, I need a big plane to haul 200 believers to a nation and win them in a day, I'm on board for that. I'll give thousands. But you see where we've kind of got off a little bit. And again, I mean, I'm no offense to Creflo Dollar. Again, I love his ministry. Listen to his preaching. But I just think that we've just kind of lost sight of what a disciple is. Equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. So here at Good News Church, we reject the big shot mentality. I don't have groupies hanging around me. It's not about serving the pastor. It's about serving you. It's about the vision, the mission. We believe, getting close here, we believe that we must do something about the laborer shortage. That's Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching their synagogues and proclaiming the good news, this is amplified, the gospel of the kingdom and curing all kinds of diseases and every weakness and infirmity. And when he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them because they were bewildered, harassed, and distressed and dejected and helpless. You know any people like that? Like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to force out and thrust the laborers into the harvest field. I believe one of the greatest problems in the church today is we don't have enough laborers. We have a laborer shortage. And this is from Jesus. This is not my opinion based on statistics. This is what he said. And they had this problem 2,000 years ago. And we've got it in an epidemic today. Because many pastors don't even know there is a ministry of the believer. Well, they don't understand the purposes of what it's for. So he says for us to pray to the Lord of the harvest, praying to the Father, to thrust out the laborers. But then we won't read it, but you go on to read Matthew 10, and then what Jesus did is he sent the disciples out. He equipped them, he trained them, he taught them, and then he sent them out, two by two. So we believe here at Good News Church, we believe in praying for laborers. We believe in being laborers, every one of us. We believe in training people to be laborers. And then now, what the Lord's assignment, the Lord's given us, He's given us assignment to train other trainers in other parts of the world to help them train people to be disciples, to be for the ministry of believers. And then the last point here today. Thank you for going through all this. You know, it's, you know, overwhelming scriptures and all this, but here's the last point. We believe we can't keep this message of empowerment to ourselves. Luke 12, verse 48. The second part of Luke 12, verse 48 says, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." So I hate to tell you, if you're a part of this church, well, let me read it in the another translation. I think this is the Message translation. It says, "Great gifts mean great responsibilities. Greater gifts, greater responsibilities." So, and what I meant by this unveiling of, we have a responsibility here at Good News Church to make disciples. And then not only that, and God is opening up doors, we have a responsibility to take it even further, to help other ministers, other ministries to make disciples. And I believe, in my opinion, I believe this is part of the last great move of God on the earth. We've had healing, we've had prosperity, we've had the returning of the Word, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, teaching all these different moves of God. But what happened with each of the different moves is it started to get focused on us. And what I believe God is doing is taking all those things, and we need all those things, taking all those things that we've been given and now bringing it to the world. And so we come here to get trained, to be taught, to practice, to learn, to grow. But the real ministry is out there in your world. And I have failed if I've not equipped you to be able to pray for people, to get folks baptized in the Holy Spirit, to get folks saved, to be a minister of reconciliation. And again, I can't speak for any other pastor. I can only speak for myself. I've got to do this. Now, granted, and I know we're all different places, and some are like, I can't do it. I understand that. We'll come in here and we preach a lot of messages about who you are in Christ and your inheritance, and we'll get you healthy. We'll get you on track. We'll get you to the place one day down the road, even if it's years. I'm willing to wait years for you. I am. I'm willing. I'm patient enough. I will, as long as it takes. And so come, and if you don't understand anything I'm saying today, but you feel like, I want to grow as a believer, we'll give you the food to grow and know who your inheritance is. We'll help you know who you are, what you have, and what you can do. And I'm telling you, and so instead of being the disciple where you come and it's all about you just receiving, and then you go home and you don't really do anything with it, most of those believers are bored. The abundant life is so exciting when you know you are an ambassador for Christ and you've got something in you, even, and it may not be fully trained yet, but you know it's in you. You've got something to help people. Even when you're going through a trial, you've got something to help somebody else. And that's one of the best ways to get through a trial is minister to somebody else. That's faith. When you're hurting or when you're broke, to give and to sow seed. Susie, and again, we'll do this briefly, but share just for a moment what's happening with India.
Earlier this year, end of last year, I got a, through our I Give Life Facebook page, I got a message from someone in India. And if you're on Facebook, maybe you get messages from India. Do you? Particularly if you're a pastor, you get all kinds of requests and various things. But anyway, what happened is something was different about this request, and something was different. It came through the I Give Life Facebook page, and there was no, it wasn't the usual spiel that I often get. And so anyway, it caught my attention, and there was a woman on the other side sending these messages. She said, "I've heard about your I Give Life course and shared about it from some folks in Western Australia, and I want to learn. Can you teach me how to make these disciples, how to build ministers of reconciliation, how to make life givers? Can you help me with that?" And she's a woman in a place called Katak, Orissa, in the eastern part of India. And she said, can you help me to learn to do that? This is what's in my heart, but I haven't been able to find anyone who knows how to do this. So I began a relationship with her, sent her the course on, in paper form, electronically, eventually posted it so she could watch it, eventually had to send it to her because the internet connection didn't work as well as ours do. But anyway, so now she has the course. She's watched it over and over. She shared it with the people she works with there. And then we began Skyping on a regular basis, which is amazing. Thank God for technology. So I've been working to train this trainer. I'm sitting in my breakfast room table. She's in India, and we're discussing these concepts. She can even understand me. It's just really the power of God, if anybody can understand me. And she's learning, and she's so excited. Now, I'm incredibly humbled. I tell Matt at various times when I Skype with her, I have to move the camera, like I have to move it, because I'm crying when she shares her life. And so I don't want her to see how really humbled I am by the whole thing. I'm just really... The other day, I was Skyping with her, and she mentioned something to me, and I said, you know, it's really early in the morning. What are you doing up? She goes, oh, I'm up at 4 a.m. every day. We pray. We gather with our ministry partners here, and we pray every morning at 4. I said, every morning at 4? Boy, that's commitment. And this is what she said. She said, oh, he loves us. He loved us first. We want to get up at 4 and pray. And spend time with our Savior who loves us so. And there was no, hype or shtick in that. It was just real. And so I was so glad I wasn't on the Skype with her, because I was so convicted. Because I think about how we are. But anyway, they're so hungry. And it feels like the Macedonian call. Come, help us. Come, help us. There's so many here. Less than 2% of the population in the region where she is. There's over 40 million people there. Less than 2% of them have heard the gospel. They're just, they don't know what we know. They haven't heard what we hear. And they're so blessed to just be able to have somebody to reach out to them and help them. And she said, all we have is, we have Bibles, and that's all we have. We don't have any other materials. So I've been, of course, sending her materials, helping her. They're so hungry. And she, every time we talk, she's taken what we've done. She's gone out. She's shared the gospel. And she's sharing the gospel with people who are firmly entrenched in a completely different religion, you understand. This is a woman who, when she was saved, she went back to her village where she's from, searched in an 80-kilometer radius out from her church, out from her village, found no believers at all, went to her family, preached the gospel. The conclusion from her family was, we do not accept this. We do not accept you. Either deny this or we will call you dead. She said, I will not deny Jesus. He accepted me. I could never reject him. And her family conducted her funeral and burned every remembrance of her. So she has no family, but she's delighted to be in Christ. And so, how can you not help her? So I'm working out to send some folks over to her in June and to help them. She's got all these things lined up and these things where they want to equip believers. She's like, these people, I don't know how to teach them what they need to know. Just these basic things. And they're so hungry and they're learning because they want to win their brothers and sisters, literally their siblings. They want to win their world, the people that they know, to Jesus. They want to work miracles. They read about miracles and they're not quite sure how to do them. She received the baptism of the Holy Spirit because she spent a year crying out to God for it. But she has no idea how to help anybody else receive. So all the rest of the ministry team, none of them are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, but the kids back in Hydro Force get baptized in the Holy Spirit because it's easy once you know what to do, how to receive. But they don't know how. So they're longing for someone. I'm telling you, you don't know what you know. You don't know what you've been taught. You don't know the knowledge that God's entrusted to you, which makes the verse that Matt just read a little scary, doesn't it?
Yeah. We, around here, we call a disciple a life giver. And our mission is empowering people to give life. That's what we do. And you see on our sign that we're a life-giving church. That's what we're talking about. And again, it's a process. You know, again, going back to the paper mill, it comes in as wood, solid wood, and goes through the process. And so we're all at various stages, and we understand that, and we will be, we'll do our best to be patient. I don't want to be demanding or a dictator or force you. I want this to be willing that you see it and okay. And I'm willing to be patient and wait for you to see it, but and help you all I can along the way to get there. Now, Greg, I'm putting you on the spot. Come share, you know, briefly as you can, and it'd be hard for you to do it. Share what the Lord's doing for you and what's coming up, what you guys are doing.
Sure. Hey, everybody. It's been a privilege to be here this week, and what you've learned today, we've kind of been learning that in excess. For Cody and I, it's been like drinking from a fire hose from these guys to figure out what it is to make disciples, and he's talking about that training trainers. They've been doing that with us this week, and for me, you know, my brother's been a part of this church for the past 13 years or so, and I've come and visit on rare occasions and have come, you know, maybe once a year or twice a year, and was a youth pastor for a number of years and would come and bring students. And every time I left here from Good News, I kind of had this sense probably that most of you have today, like I'm going to go out and I'm going to impact the world. I'm going to go out and I'm going to make a difference. And I can do this thing. And you feel empowered when you leave this place. It's electric. And how could you not want to go out and do that? But I've been in situations back home where I felt like the joy that I went back with was stolen or snatched from me. Just like when you go and spread and scatter seed, some of that seed falls on different types of ground. You can read about that story that Jesus shared. But I felt for me it was like that for a number of years. And God allowed me to meet a really cool guy in Cody. We found him through Craigslist as we were looking for band members. I mean, some people find used furniture and keyboards and dates, you know. I found a partner, I guess. We are partnering in ministry with him and another guy and perhaps another guy. But God's brought us together even in that. And he was like a swift kick in the pants for me because I'd shared with him baptism in water and baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he got filled and we became instant friends. And I told him about Good News Church. And I said, you got to go out there and experience what they have, especially for the students that you're leading here at Elevation. And so we sent him out and he came back on fire. He began to read books and he devoured the I Give Life course. And he was very, very hungry for more and thirsty for more. And it kind of got me fired up again. And he gave me a book for Christmas and I read it, and it reminded me so much of what I'd experienced here over the years. And I remember one night he was watching my kids, who he shares as a third of his circle of friends. He was watching my kids. They're 5 years old now and a two-year-old. And my wife and I had come back from a date, and we'd been talking about, you know, planting a church. And 3 years ago, after I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I felt called to plant a church and then kind of confused the call to maybe go into church planting. But I knew that God had put me in this for a process and for also for connecting me with other people that he would bring along to help me in this. And he was watching the kids, and I remember him just kind of had this anxious look on his face. And I thought, well, he needs to talk about something. So we sat down at the kitchen table and I said, what's going on? What's on your mind? He's like, I need to tell you something. And he was kind of dancing around this idea. And finally, I'm like, spit it out. And so he spit it out. He said, Good News Aurora. And suddenly for me, the idea of church planting didn't seem scary. It kind of just hit me with this piece like, yes, that's it. That's the dream. If we could take what is being done here and the impact that's been made over the past 20 years, and if we could duplicate a small part of it, if we could just grab a little bit of it and take it back to Colorado and start something fresh, then we could be those that are making disciples and equipping trainers and doing the work of Jesus, not just as pastors, but as those there are that are going to empower and equip those to do the work. And so we're going back to Colorado to plant a Good News Church, and we're excited about that. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Good time to get up and shout, right? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there we go. Yes. You have made a lasting impact on us. And just from the brief amount of time that we've spent with you, and I can't imagine for you to be engulfed in this type of culture and to experience it every week, to not be able to leave fired up and excited. And I mean, I'm hearing about 10,000 people a year getting saved in this church. And you're small, you're few, you know. There's a verse I was hit with this week. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. That you can be empowered. That Jesus only had 12, right? He only had 12, and what did he do? He changed the world. So we don't know how we're going to start. We're going to start small, I'm sure. But we are going to reach a lot of people because of the equipping and the training that has been done for us, and which we in turn will do for others. So thank you. Thank you for your partnership in this.
I'll switch over to this guy. Yeah, thank you. That was awesome. And so we've just been expounding on all the different things we talked about today and how what that looks like. And it's a different model. And again, it's not perfect. We don't have it all figured out, but we're on this track. And we're, again, we got to step up to the plate here and be ready to be able to help other churches. We got a team going to Kentucky to help an evangelist at a church there. And the thing with India, and they've been to Peru, and I'm going to be meeting with the head of a ministerial organization coming up, and he wants to hear more about our ideas. And we've been, the work we've been doing in Australia and all this. And when we go to these places, we talk about you. We talk about the believers, not about us and what we've had ministry as pastors. We talk about the people of Good News Church, and we share your testimonies. I mean, even on the I Give Life course, there's like 35 or whatever different testimonies of people within the church. It's your testimonies of giving life. And so today, I just want to spend just a minute in prayer here for all of us. And I want you to go to God right now and talk to him about your part. Now I am sincere here. If this is not for you, and you know, you've, if you've been a member here or you're a guest today, and this does not, you don't want any part of it, I'm all fine with you going somewhere else. Seriously. I mean, you could be a leader in this church. If you're not, this is not for you. I understand. There's the demand placed on you. And there is, again, plenty of great churches in this area. I'll even recommend them to you. I'm for the other churches in this area. I'm not against other churches. I'm not saying we have it all. I want to learn from others. We're learning from this lady in India. You know, it's not, I don't feel like I have all the revelation. I just know what the Lord has told us to do. But if you don't connect with that, then you're going to feel, you know, out of place. And maybe there's another place for you in town. And what kind of church growth strategy is this? I'm just for you. I want you to grow. I want you to be the person that God has for you. I believe strongly, though, in what we're doing here. So a couple of things I want to do. I just want to have a moment of prayer. And you kind of talk to God about where you're at. And then I've got some things I'm going to pray for you. But then we want to lay hands on Greg and Cody and commission them and pray for them as they step into their new work. Does that sound good? If you want to stand, go ahead and stand right now. Father in heaven, I just know that you're dealing with folks. Maybe some folks here have gotten rusty. Maybe some folks have let some things slip. And I understand, you know, the world that we live in. And it's, what we're talking about today is so contrary to the world's ways. Things happen. You know, trials and tribulations, knock us down and cause us to go backwards. But I just pray today, Father, for a stirring up again for folks. A stirring up today of the vision and the mission of empowering people to give life, and that every one of us has a part in that. And Father, maybe there's those that are, I mean, they're in 100%. Father, I pray for them right now in the name of Jesus for more open doors. They'll be stepping out of their comfort zone. Maybe they'll be going to nations. Maybe they'll be going to other cities. Maybe they'll be doing other kind of ministries here in Augusta. Father, I pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. Open up their eyes to see what the next step is. And I know that you're speaking to us even during this trust challenge about the next steps. Father, I pray that we'll clearly hear from you. Father, that we commit ourselves again to the Great Commission of making disciples, of reaching out to people. We commit ourselves again to the ministry of reconciliation. We commit ourselves again to being ambassadors for Christ. We want to follow Jesus. We want to follow His teachings, and we want to be like Him and do the things that He did. And now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everybody here. I pray for boldness. I pray for fear to go in the name of Jesus, complacency to go in the name of Jesus, and for boldness to overtake folks, for them to step into their ministry of reconciliation. And help us, Father, do an even better job, a more effective and efficient way to equip and train people. Help us to do that, Father. Give us strategies and plans and ideas to do that. In the name of Jesus, we thank You, Father. We give You praise. And then, Lord, we ask to send out the laborers. Send them out into the harvest field. Thrust them out into the harvest field in the name of Jesus. Send them out, Father. Every city, every town, every village, every place in the world, send forth the laborers. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.